I have been living together with a man for more than 3 years. He is a widower and a non-believer. He told me he would live with me for the rest of my life, and I believe him. But we have not gotten married yet. Before we met, I had attended a church for many years and tried to live like a Christian. I was confused. But about 2 months ago, I found sermons on, I'll be honest, about salvation through faith and regeneration, and I understood it, and I knew it happened to me too. I started to read the Bible and pray. I'm looking for a biblical church. So here's the thing. This woman is from another country, and she came across, I'll be honest. Do we have, I'll be honest, in Hungarian?
Yeah.
Okay. So she came across it, probably in her own language, got converted. Now here's her situation. She's been living with the guy for 3 years. He says he's committed to her until death, and she says she believes him. So she believes she's safe. My question is, should I stop this relationship and leave this man, though we are committed to each other, or should we get married? What say you?
This is a trick question.
Yeah, exactly.
Why, like it's so easy?
Yeah, it's a...
Okay, let me. Well, you may say so, but okay. Let's say it's not a trick question. Jamie, what's the answer?
She shouldn't marry him if he's not a believer.
She shouldn't marry him if he's not a believer. And where would we get that principle from?
Do not be unequally yoked.
Do not be unequally yoked. Are we certain that the unequally yoked text... Let me ask you this question. Let's say I'm an unbeliever, and I live in the days of the Corinthians. My wife, I'm actually married. My wife is an unbeliever. Guess what? The gospel comes to our city. The Apostle Paul comes. I get saved. My wife doesn't. I get a letter at my church with the rest of my church from the Apostle Paul saying, don't be unequally yoked. Should I go out and divorce my wife?
No.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Is that unequally yoked necessarily speaking about marriage? Or are you going to tell me only sometimes? I would make a case to you that a believer living with an unbeliever is not prohibited in Scripture. Not absolutely. You know for fact it's not. In fact, you can go to 1 Corinthians 7 and you find exactly that scenario where the believer is told that if the unbelieving spouse is willing to dwell with the believing spouse, that they should remain married. So obviously, God is not opposed to being unequally yoked in a marriage context in every circumstance. So if you just randomly go over and take a text that says don't be unequally yoked, which, by the way, I'm not going to say it might not have application to marriage, but it's not specific to marriage at all. So where would we go in Scripture to say that if somebody's saved, they shouldn't marry an unbeliever? I mean, if somebody challenged you on don't be unequally yoked, and they said, you know, if you want to make that apply to marriage, then even...
1 Corinthians 7:39.
Okay, first, somebody read that.
A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she's free to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord.
Only in the Lord.
I take that meaning...
Right. In the Lord means a Christian. Now, but here's the thing. Scripture doesn't deal with every scenario. You want to talk about pastorally getting into a problem? Oh, boy. Just talk about marriage, divorce, remarriage. I've told this story before, but it's worth telling again. My grandmother did the Conway family history, and she wrote in there about one of my ancestors who fought in the Civil War. And he was married. He was from Michigan, went off to the war, was severely wounded. Whether he lost his memory or what happened, I don't know. He ended up in an army hospital after the war is over. He's still in the hospital, and no word ever got back to his wife. She remarries. Like 7 years later, after he went off to war, he shows up at the front door. She's been married now for years. I think she even has perhaps children with the... Okay. Now, they were all Catholics, undoubtedly, and probably nobody really... There was no spiritual leader probably called in to try to sort this thing out. But what if you're a pastor and you're confronted by that situation? Now, I'll tell you what she did. She and her second husband made a room in the house for the first husband. You got to remember, he was really wounded and messed up during the war. So they made a room for him. She cared for him. Because of those wounds, he didn't live a whole lot longer, but she cared for him. Remained married to the second, cared for the first. Now you could look at that and say, well, that's honorable. Okay, maybe it's honorable, but is it biblical? I mean, what? Okay. Now you say, well, you know, that happened back then, and a bunch of Catholics. Okay, let's bring up another one. This actually happened to me pastoring. I got a couple in the church. They're on their one. I think is on his third marriage. She's on her second marriage when God saves them both. Wow, now they recognize, now they want to honor God by their marriage. They recognize that their past was all wicked and all sinful and everything. So I'm over at their house one time, and they're sitting there at the table with me, and their eyes get really big, and they're looking for some counsel. Well, she gets some kind of phone call or letter in the mail informing her that her first husband never divorced her. And she's, and now she's asked, you know, what do we do? I've had a situation where a young man comes to me and he says, I'm a Christian now. I got my girlfriend pregnant. Should I marry her? Or should I go to 7:39 in 1 Corinthians and say, I don't have to? You see, and I brought this up before, you know, missionaries have found situations in Africa where there was a specific situation that if women had children, something like this, the women had children by a certain man, no other man would come along and become their husband. And so the missionaries said to these men, you keep all your wives with all their children and you care for all of them. Because if you divorce any of them, they're going to end up with no provider. I saw in another situation where they came into the South Seas Islands and certain chiefs had harems. And lots of the men in the villages didn't have wives because the chiefs had them all. And so they came in and they told the chiefs, you divorce all of them except the first one. And then all the other guys came along and they married. In one case, they tell these guys married to multiple wives to keep all the wives. In another case, they tell them not to. You see, we're not just working by a set of rules. We're working mercy, love. These things are the things that really have to be controlling. One of my pastor friends said to me, going back to the guy who got his girlfriend pregnant, and then he got saved. Pastor friend of mine said, yeah, can you imagine how it would look to that girl and her parents? If he says, you know, sorry, you got a child now and everything, and, you know, I got free choice of all the single girls in the church, but can't marry you, so you just better hit the road. What's the honorable thing to do there? I'll tell you this. When I find a Christian young man who's got a girl somewhere and there's children involved, my counsel to him is going to be to marry the girl. Why? Now, there might be some instances not, and even the one I counseled in, you know, it ended up in divorce. And now somebody could say, well, was it right? I know situations that haven't ended up in divorce. In fact, I know a situation down in Corpus where that was my recommendation, and the woman ended up getting saved. And now they're both, I mean, so you could show examples that go both ways, but the issue is this. If a young man comes and says, I feel like the honorable thing to do is to marry this girl, but she's an unbeliever, and I got people telling me that as a Christian, I shouldn't be marrying an unbeliever. I'd tell you this, that situation in 1 Corinthians 7:39 is not a situation where a young man has a girl over here that has kids. It's not that. You specifically have a situation where a woman has her husband die, and Paul says, marry in the Lord. I would say this. That should be the default. Just like with obeying parents, the default should be Christians marry Christians. Let's throw this in. If this couple were living here in Texas, and they'd been together for 3 years and been receiving mail at the same place for 3 years, guess what would be true of them? Common law marriage. Guess what happens if they separate? You actually have to go through a legal divorce. So now what? Should they divorce? You say, well, they were never married in the beginning. I mean, you're talking about man's laws, because if they really didn't marry officially before God, how can they really be divorcing? And maybe you got a point there. But see, these are things to take into account. You know, everybody's watched the two live together. You've got a whole community watching. You've got family watching. What's the more honorable thing to do? Is the more honorable thing for that guy to pack up his bags, leave the woman or whatever children might be, maybe they're not even his kids, maybe they're from some other man some other time or whatever, but he's been there, he's been the breadwinner, he walks away, he goes and visits the church now, and now he's got free pick of all the single, you know, Christian ladies, and oh, we can't fault him for that. Now, you know, 6 months later, he's getting married to one of the girls from the church, and he just dumped her. Is that the most honorable thing? It might be the right thing to do. It might not be the right thing to do. One thing you know this, the unequally yoked principle definitely comes in. Look, if you're saved and you marry a lost woman, a lost man, you're going to have problems. There's no question. I think I think we should apply the unequally yoked practice, the not being unequally yoked principle to marriage. We should. But that doesn't mean that there aren't exceptions. Look what the missionaries did. The missionaries looked and they said, in this culture, if these women are left by the husband, they are going to not have anybody to fend for them. So let's encourage something that would actually be against the law here. But they did it for a reason. Now, that doesn't mean that they taught the next generation to do it. You remember what David said on Sunday. What the Bible did was it dealt with people in the situations they found themselves in. It is not like the Bible sanctions slavery, but what happens is it meets us where we live. And that's something to think about. Pastorally, it's not just so neatly packaged. There's all sorts of problems. Now, what would I tell this woman? From the sounds of it, there's no children involved. It sounds like she was just recently converted and she's wanting to do what's right. If she wrote back and said she got married, I would not count it as a dishonorable thing. If she said they got married and they're committed to each other, now she's going to have problems. But I wouldn't count it a dishonorable thing. But if she wanted to know my opinion, I would tell her to leave the situation. That would be my counsel to her. Because you do end up unequally yoked. And you end up going in that direction, and they end up going in that direction. But they have been living together for 3 years, and in the eyes of the community and the culture there, would it be an honorable thing for them to all of a sudden marry rather than just be living together? It probably would be an honorable thing. But I think applying the unequally yoke thing, I don't think that there's any, I don't know that there's enough other circumstances like children being involved that really complicate the whole matter. I know her own feelings might complicate the matter. That's probably the big thing. You know, I've lived with him for 3 years. I love the guy. But she might actually find out that if she begins to press the guy with marriage, he may not be willing. It doesn't sound like he was interested in marrying her. It just sounded like he was committed to being with her for the rest of her days, but it seems like he had an aversion to marriage for some reason. And if that's the... I mean, that should... case closed. But what she would want to do before she ever married the guy, she would really want to bathe this thing. Bathe it in prayer. She would want to bathe this thing in prayer and really seek the Lord before entering into this. Like I say, my counsel to her would be to leave this relationship altogether. Any other thoughts on that?
But if she had chosen not to, you wouldn't fault her if she decided the other thing.
Yeah, if she all of a sudden wrote back and she said, I sought the Lord. I really thought this was the most honorable thing. And you know, you do have to, there is a sense in different cultures about the rightness and wrongness of certain things. And I just think that, I think the better move for her would be to abandon the relationship. But yes, we actually were faced with a very similar situation down in Reynosa, almost exactly this situation. Woman got saved, had been living with a guy, and I think they did go... What I would say is this. I think it's honorable enough. I don't think you have the specific situation. I don't think Paul hits us with the specific situation where here's what you got to feel the tension of. On the one hand, Paul sees an existing relationship, albeit they're married, but an existing relationship of saved and unsaved, and he says stay together. So obviously, the idea of staying together is not a dishonorable thing. Now you might say, yeah, but there's marriage in there and you were supposed to keep the marriage vows. Okay, okay. These two, this guy might have commitments. They might have commitments to each other, though they might fall short of marriage. Commitments that they feel like they want to keep, and now she's a Christian, she's going to insist that they marry. I would just say this. John Seitzma came to me about the situation in Reynosa, and as a pastor, I would not feel that it would be like a disciplinary situation if suddenly you found a couple like this get married. I think there is I can understand why somebody in this situation would find this path honorable. Now, like I say, my pastoral guidance in the matter would be, I think you're going to be better off if you leave him. And of course, there may be other factors involved that aren't here that you would need to take into consideration, but that you do end up unequally yoked, and you do end up pulling in opposite directions, and there is going to be difficulty. Paul says there's going to be difficulty even if you marry a believer, and so let alone if you marry an unbeliever. But for all that, Paul says, if you're married, stay together. You see that the problem with 1 Corinthians 7 is it doesn't give us every possible scenario. It just gives us some of them. And so, of course, where a woman has a husband and the husband dies and she's now free to remarry or not remarry, of course it should be in the Lord. You don't even want to start any kind of relationship with an unbeliever. You wouldn't even want to enter in that direction. See, it's a different story when you have a 3-year-old relationship that's already existed. It is a different situation, and it's not one that Paul specifically deals with, let alone if there's children involved. That definitely is not a situation that he deals with. And when you start throwing children in the mix, I think you complicate the thing a whole lot more. Now, still, if a Christian, even if there was a child involved, really was convicted and believed that they just did not have a biblical warrant to marry and really believed that they needed to walk away from the situation, I could understand that. I mean, in some cases, I don't know that it'd be the most honorable thing to do, but I can understand that. Again, it's not just a simple rule. It's not just a list of rules, go down the checklist. We have to take in all the factors. You have to go before the Lord. You have to seek counsel. Search the Scriptures. Try to take all the applicable texts and begin to apply them. And anything else?
I was just kind of thinking, I guess if she did stay in the relationship, one thing she would have to consider is that Scripture tells wives to submit to their husbands, not just like saved husbands, so she would have to be submitting to a husband that's lost, which might be a little tough.
But that's exactly what 1 Peter 3 is all about. A woman submitting to a husband who is not submitted to the Word and does not live by that Word. And yes, it is going to be difficult, and especially when it's the woman, it's going to be difficult. That's why my counsel to her would be to walk away from this relationship. I think that would be the best path for her, just as far as liberty to serve the Lord is concerned.